Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your skipper at Home Business TV.
I'm Lynn, your co-host.
Let's gear up for seeing and get underway. Developing a creative mindset where you begin to see possibilities everywhere is a learned skill.
The chances of landing on a good idea are improved exponentially by incorporating a wide range of viewpoints.
Applying techniques of improvisational comedy helps in proactively coming up with new ideas that build innovation.
The ability to build off of others' ideas invariably leads to unexpected places and can get you from starter concept to full-blown success.
To help us better make SH up is Norm Laviette, who has been performing, directing, and producing live comedy for more than two decades and is the author of The Art of Making It Up.
So greetings, Norm Laviette. Welcome to our podcast. Say hey.
It is not a highbrow title by any stretch of the imagination.
That's great.
But I think it covers exactly what it is that I and most of us do all during the course of the day.
Well, let's see a copy of that book cover.
Sure.
Nice.
All right, cool.
Well, Norm, let's get to know you better. How did you make the leap from improvisational comedy to corporate training?
You know, when we started the theater that I founded, a place called Improv Asylum, when we founded it really about 20 years ago, 21 years ago, you know, one of the things that we knew, you know, I always say this, right? I've worked very hard in my life to avoid hard work. And so it takes a lot of hard work, right?
And yeah. It takes hard work to avoid hard work.
It really does. You got to work hard at it. And you know, when we started the theater, obviously we knew that we were going to entertain audiences, live entertainment. Mm-hmm. Yet the IP that we have as performers, as comedians, is what we do on stage. So from a business standpoint, we always knew, hey, we want to make sure that we're getting this IP operating around the clock as much as possible. And we all came from the three founders at the time. We all came from, you know, various corporate backgrounds. And what we identified was the same way that we train actors to improvise, to professionally improvise on stage, which is essentially teamwork, communication, coming to an agreement, moving ideas forward. That same skill set was absolutely missing in the corporate world. So we're like, well, hey, we should put together some sorts of workshop that address that. And so we went ahead and we did it.
So it sounds like by applying this approach, these techniques, it's almost kind of a learning. It helps people to learn things better and embrace it.
100%. You know, I mean, look, it's a learned skill, right? It doesn't matter. I mean, everybody's improvising. We're this conversation, even though you may have certain questions that you know you want to ask me, we're improvising and we're using an agreed upon skill set to do that. The only difference on stage, it's an artificial environment and we're trying to elicit a certain thing, which is laughter, but it's the same thing and it's a skill set. And because even though it sounds very dry, everything that we do is kind of funny. That is strategic because when people laugh, they relax. Yeah. When they relax, you can slip a message.
I've sat through a lot of corporate type training, particularly with them when I was in the Navy, and it was anything but funny. And yeah, you know, the few times there was some humor, like 2 or 3 years later, that's what you end up remembering is, hey, remember when that guy was up there doing the presentation, he made everybody laugh. I mean, you know, those are the memory points.
Of course, you know, and look, the military is notorious for it, right? I mean, you got your field tactical trainings and all that kind of stuff. That they can be very undynamic, but it doesn't matter if it's military, corporate, whatever. When you have somebody that can be more dynamic, that can communicate, it changes everything from a presentation.
Yeah, I saw something like 20 years ago, and I still remember some of the corny jokes they told at the presentation. So, yeah, you're kind of onto something here, but let's learn more about this improv. Norm, what are some common misconceptions about how innovation happens?
Well, you know, I see this all the time, right? And I'm sure you or your audience has been in these meetings, right, where you're in a meeting and someone's like, okay, we're going to be going over budgets for the next hour. We're going to take a break at 11:05. We're going to be creative. We're going to be creative from 11:05 to noon. We're going to go over the logistics. No, that's not how it works. It's very difficult to legislate innovation and creativity. What you have to do is you have to create an environment and a culture that allows it to happen. And I think that's the biggest mistake that we see. And there are so many, and sure, improv and improv comedy is one, but there are so many organizations that are adept at being creative, and they have skill sets, and you know, people should really look them up.
Well, Norm, what obstacles get in the way of maximizing our creative potential?
I think the obstacles that get in the way, you know, really of maximizing our creative potential are a couple things, right? Individually, it's that voice in all of our heads, right? That says, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. It's stupid. People are going to laugh at me.
Self-doubt. Mm-hmm. Self-doubt.
it's the number one thing, right? As a performer and as a comedian, you face that and you overcome that earlier in your career, because if you don't, you don't have a career. You're not going to be able to do it, right? And that's the beauty of being on stage, is you face failure viscerally, nightly, when you start, right? You know, something I always say is the first step to greatness is sucking. And if you aren't willing to suck, you ain't ever going to be great. And that's true of comedy or anything. So that first thing is getting past that voice that's in all of our heads. And things like taking an improv class, taking a singing class, painting, whatever it is, anything that puts you a little bit outside of your comfort zone, it's great, because it's not that you're trying to turn into an improv comedian or a stand-up comedian. You're trying to push through that tissue that says you can't do it. And when all of a sudden you take an improv class, you're like, oh, all right, that wasn't, I could totally do it. What you've done is you started to rewire your brain to say, I can try other things that I really want to pursue. That's number one. In a group setting, in an organization or a company, the number one thing that really holds innovation and creativity back is the no mindset, right? Is the mindset where somebody offers up an idea and it's immediately killed with, no, we can't, that's not going to work. The sharpshooter, the devil's advocate. And the thing is, while even the devil's advocate has a role to play at some point in the meeting, if you kill an idea at its very inception, you've got nowhere to explore, and therefore you have nowhere to go.
So kind of, you know, pulling out a nugget of what you're talking about, one of the first things you got to do is you just got to kind of get out there and start doing it and get some training and get out of your comfort zone. And then that'll start this process towards being able to unlock the creative potential.
Well, it's true. And I would even say that, like I say, things like improv classes or acting classes are fantastic for that. There's no doubt about it. But I think the key is what you said, Richard, was do something that gets out of your comfort zone. Do something. It doesn't matter if it's a ballroom dancing class or rock climbing, when everybody says, why are you rock climbing, right? The crazy thing is people move from judging to accepting incredibly fast.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you decide that you now want to just throw all of your time into ballroom dancing, for a week or two, somebody will be like, why are you ballroom dancing? And then after that, it'll be like, oh yeah, he's a ballroom dancer.
That's
really how fast it goes. Because people, in the best sense of the idea, people are horrible narcissists. And all we do is really think about ourselves. So therefore, if you decide you want to become a ballroom dancer, after a while, I'm like, no, it's not really, doesn't involve me. I'm not going to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do practice of improv and making it up help to overcome, you know, some of these creative obstacles?
It's the beauty of improvisation, right? And people think improv, right, is like, oh, we're just making stuff up on the fly. But we're not. We're using a deeply learned skill set. And all improvisation, it's a communication skill set. It's a performance and communication technique. And all we're doing, right, all improvisation is, means that I'm focused on what you're saying, and I'm trying to build off of your ideas and respond to what I hear, as opposed to thinking, constantly thinking, right? Thinking hard, listening, we all can kind of do that. And so what we do is we train long and hard on this idea of giving our focus to somebody else, mm-hmm. listening and building off of what we hear. And by doing that, now you exponentially have more information at your hands, because, you know, I may be funny, but if I'm on stage with you two, I'm exponentially more funny, because now I have access to your talent and your talent.
So I see this has a lot of great application, particularly for any kind of business. So for example, one that's common to any business owner would be doing sales and conducting some kind of a sales call. If you're focused on improv and building off of what your client is saying, that's a heck of a lot better than trying to get, you know, lost in giving them the benefits of what it is you're trying to sell, but you're building off of what they say to help build that relationship. And that would seem to be a much better way to go.
Sure. If you're just trying to shoehorn in your message, which is, here's my thing, bye. I mean, we're all pretty savvy nowadays. We're being sold constantly. So what you're looking to do is you're trying to build that relationship and build that conversation. Yeah, you'll get to your points, but it's so much more organic when we get there by having a conversation and they finally bring up a pain point. You're like, well, that's really interesting you would mention that, because, you know, with my service, we do X, as opposed to, okay, here's my service. We do X, we do Y, we do Z. Let me tell you all about them and all the benefits. Half of those benefits may not even be for the client. Why are we wasting mm-hmm. their time? And so if you can engage in this relationship, which is, I'm listening to what you have to say, I'm building off what you hear, I can still control the conversation to bring it around to my message, but it's far more organic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they always talk about have a client focus. And if you're not doing something like improv, you've got to constantly focus on, okay, how do I get that client focus as they babble on about my features? So this is a natural fit for, you know, people can apply in their businesses every day.
Well, I heard it said recently at a keynote that I was giving, and, you know, I was doing question and answer with the audience after. And so I'm absolutely stealing this from somebody from the client, from somebody from the audience. The idea is called steal like an artist. All artists steal. And we were talking about, it was actually a sales, it was a sales conference for, I won't say the client's name, but I'll say probably the largest jelly maker in the world.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and so many you can choose from. And it was great. And one of their lead sales directors, you know, we were talking about this exchange, and he said, you know, it's the concept of are you listening to hear, or are you just waiting to speak? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big difference. And I think if you're listening to hear what somebody is saying, then you're concentrating on them. If you're just waiting to speak, you don't give a damn what they're saying.
So improv forces you to listen to what's being said.
Oh, you have to. It's the number one skill. It's the number one skill. People ask me all the time, what is it, being fast, funny, witty, all that stuff? Nope. It's the ability to listen. If you can't listen, you cannot improvise because you can't respond.
Well, Norm, your improv is all about evaluating business ideas. How do you know when an idea is worth pursuing?
You know, I think what one thing people need to understand about ideas at their inception, they're value neutral, meaning it's not a good idea and it's not a bad idea when it's conceived. It may turn into a good idea, or it may turn out to be a bad idea, but at its inception, they're value neutral because we don't know these things. And so because all ideas are value neutral, you know, this is the idea of, in my business, it's exploring and heightening. It's following an idea. And where, for me, I decide where an idea is worth pursuing is, does it continue to keep me excited, right? Is it now starting to almost like getting a grip on my brain where I just, even though I want to let it go, I can't? You know, I personally have to find some kind of passion and energy around the idea. And if I do, then I explore that. And even then, it doesn't mean it's going to be a great idea, but you have to give yourself runway to explore a lot of ideas that never pan out. You know, I feel like the most important thing in terms of finding a good idea is having intellectual curiosity and riding it out until all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, I was really interested. Oh, it turns out it's not a good idea. That's not a failure. That's great. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to develop your neural pathways to keep following an idea, because you're not going to hit a home run every time up. But if you keep pursuing it and you keep pursuing different ideas, it starts to actually form,
Let me see if I understand this, Rob. What you're saying is, like, going through those process of improv and that creative process, that helps you to move to a business idea that starts off, you're saying, value neutral, but then going through that same creative process, that's how you'll better, you know, be able to explore that idea and to see whether it's something that can pan out.
Absolutely. And also, it's okay when they don't. They're supposed to not to. There's plenty, right? And so you want to be able to get used to that to then identify more ways of exploring and different patterns. But it's they're not all going to work out, and they're not supposed to. You need to be intellectually curious.
Well, I say if 10% of the ideas work out, that's probably a pretty good track record.
10%? Oh, yeah. Sign me up for that hedge fund. Yeah. Working out.
Well, we're being optimistic.
It's like 98 out of 100 of, like, you know, business, you know, these things fail. But when two of them, you know, make 500 million or $1 billion, that's all you need.
Yeah, you got to go for those first 98 first. Well, no, I'm glad. Yeah, this has been a great discussion on using improv comedy principles to build better teams. Do you have any final points you would like to share?
I would like to point out that in improv comedy, we do not make $1 billion a year. so if anybody wants to pay me that, I will take it. What I like to say to everybody is, you all have something in you and you just need permission to go ahead and pursue it. Don't give a damn about what everybody else thinks about you. They do not matter. And when you start to push through that, you're like, oh, I don't care. Once you don't care about anybody else, once you don't give a SH, you know,
that's exclamation mark T.
You really can kind of roll, man.
Good. Well, Norm Lavalette, thank you for being such a wonderful guest on our podcast.
Happy to be here.
Thanks. Yes, thank you. Of course. To learn more about Norm Lavalette and his book, The Art of Making SH exclamation point T up, please visit iainnovation.com or podcast website for more information on guests.
Thanks for joining us in this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more information, visit homebusinessmag.com or the expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Anderson saying, anchors away.
We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.